Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1868 with a release date of May 31st, 2013 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham radio stands down following response to Oklahoma tornadoes. Louisiana implements alert FM system statewide. Expedition 36 arrives at the International Space Station. Ham Nation celebrates its 100th netcast and a final wrap-up on Hamvention 2013. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1868, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from near Houston, Texas, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Hams in Oklahoma who volunteered when tornadoes hit that state have gone home. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, reports.
Amateur radio emergency service operators have been released from assisting the American Red Cross with communications during its response to the Moore, Oklahoma tornado recovery. This, according to Kevin O'Dell, N0IRW, who is the Oklahoma ARL section manager. O'Dell says that ARES volunteers were released from scheduled duty. They have returned to volunteer status. He also noted that some 25 local hams volunteered their help, along with 15 out-of-state radio operators who also offered their services. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
More information can be found at the Oklahoma ARES website. It's in cyberspace at aresok.org. The Louisiana Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness has announced that it has completed the implementation of the Alert FM and GSSNet systems. This is a way of improving the method used to deliver voice and text emergency notifications to the public. Louisiana will use Alert FM to send out its emergency alerts, as will emergency managers from all 64 parishes and 42 colleges and universities across the state. Alert FM is an FM radio-based emergency notification system that will help Louisiana better keep citizens, schools, businesses, and first responders informed of critical information during natural or man-made disasters. Alert FM delivers emergency messages using the data subcarrier of local FM radio stations. The use of this pre-existing network of FM broadcasters provides overlapping and redundant signal coverage for the state. More on this Louisiana statewide implementation of Alert FM is online at tinyurl.com/Louisiana-emergency-alerting. Two hams have been rescued from a flooded campground thanks to their hobby. Sunday morning, May 19th, at about 4:40 a.m., Eric Heaton, KF4LJN, and Henry Miller, N4VG, were awakened by a flooding situation at Lake Chinnabee in Munford, Alabama, east of Birmingham. The two had been camping when Miller noticed water getting into his tent. Miller and Heaton moved their car several times to stay above the flood line. They soon realized that the only road out of the area was submerged in 2 to 3 feet of water and impassable. So Miller made contact with a ham in Talladega, Alabama, over the Mount Cheeha 147.69/.09 repeater. That ham in turn notified authorities of the two trapped radio amateurs. The Cleburne County Sheriff's Rescue Squad was dispatched, and both Heaton and Miller were soon brought to safety by boat. There was very poor cell phone coverage in the area, but thanks to ham radio, everyone is safe. House Communications and Technology Subcommittee Chairman Greg Walden, W7EQI of Oregon, has praised Interim FCC Chair Mignon Clyburn. But he also told C-SPAN's The Communicators last weekend he has some concerns about Tom Wheeler. Wheeler is President Barack Obama's pick for chairman of the regulatory agency. Senate Commerce Committee Chairman John Rockefeller has said he plans to hold nomination hearings in June for Wheeler, who is a former telecommunications industry lobbyist. Walden is concerned about Wheeler's position on some past telecommunications deals. He told C-SPAN that the commission shouldn't use the extraordinary power it has to approve or deny a merger in order to exercise market changes it can't do through a regulatory environment. Walden has let it be known that commission reform is still on his agenda. While he praised former FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski for some of his moves to modernize the agency, he also noted that the FCC needs more checks to keep it on schedule and make sure that it doesn't lose sight of the progress it has made as it transitions to new leadership. Walden plans to reintroduce an FCC reform measure containing shot clocks for decisions on proposed transactions and on other agency processes. He also wants to relax the ban that prevents all the commissioners from getting together to discuss pending issues. Three new crew members have arrived at the International Space Station after launching from Kazakhstan. The Soyuz rocket carrying Fyodor Yurchikhin, Karen Nyberg, and Luca Parmitano, KF-5KDP, lifted off from the Baikonur Cosmodrome at 2031 GMT on Tuesday, May 28th. They arrived at the orbiting space outpost 5 hours and 46 minutes later. To speed up their ascent, the Soyuz capsule was using a new flight profile that dramatically reduces the rendezvous time from the traditional 2 days. It is technically more difficult and requires some very precise orbital adjustments, but it is deemed to be easier on the crew. This is because it means they do not have to spend so long inside the cramped launch vehicle. Yurchikhin and Nyberg have both been into space before. Parmitano is a first-timer on orbit. The trio, whose designation is Expedition 36, was greeted by the current three-member crew already on the ISS. They are Russians Pavel Vinogradov and Alexander Misurkin, along with American Chris Cassidy, KF-5KDR. Yurchikhin, Nyberg, and Parmitano will be on the ISS until November. The popular internet television program Ham Nation celebrated its 100th netcast on Wednesday, May 29th. We have more in this report.
It's a voice that so many in ham radio know, and on Wednesday, May 29th, Ham Radio's Mr. Audio, Bob Heil, K9EID, celebrated the 100th consecutive week of his video podcast, Ham Nation. And this is the way it sounded when he opened the show.
Good evening, everybody. It's a very special, historic night. It's the 100th broadcast of Ham Nation from the Twit Network. We're so happy, so thrilled, and I think a little bit surprised that we made it this far and it's all turned out so well. It's because of one thing, and that's the team behind us. This started out with Leo's dream of having a ham radio show, and he said, you do it. Well, I, of course, am not the show. We started picking on the great people that make ham radio happen, and that's what goes on. And we continue to add people, as you'll start seeing tonight, some of the great people behind the scenes.
Leo, of course, is Leo Laporte, W6TWT, who owns the Twit TV network. The others alongside Bob are Gordon West, WB6NOA, and George Thomas, W5JDX. Also on hand for his 100th episode, a bat pre-recorded, was Ham Nation's first guest and the person who wrote and performed the show's theme song, famed Eagles guitarist Joe Walsh, WB6ACU.
I want to wish everybody at Ham Nation a very happy 100th anniversary, and glad I helped get it started.
Other guests included 38 special bass player Larry Junstrom, K4EB, along with Ham Nation's post-show net control stations Dale Puckett, KOHYD, and Al Matthews, K1LTJ. Also on hand was Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, to introduce and narrate the show's news segments, and Cheryl Lysik, K9BIK, who hosts the show's online chat room. Like all previous Ham Nation episodes, number 100 is available to both watch and listen to at www.twittv.com/hamnation. For Amateur Radio Newsline, Norm Seeley, KI7UP, watching from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Our congratulations to Bob Heil, K9EID, Gordon West, WB6NOA, George Thomas, W5JDX, and of course, Twit TV founder Leo Laporte, W6TWT, on this milestone. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Southern Suburbs Amateur Radio Club UHF Repeater Network, serving South Africa. The price of a vanity call sign may be going up. This as the FCC releases a notice of proposed rulemaking in which it requests a very modest 20-cent increase in the cost of a vanity call over its 10-year term. Currently, the fee for a vanity call is $15. That would go to $15.20 if the measure is approved and acted into law. As you know, the FCC is authorized to collect vanity call sign fees to recover the costs associated with administering that program. Dorset, England police are trying to locate what they describe as a white VW transporter van with a large amateur radio aerial on the roof that was recently involved in a road rage incident. Investigators allege that the van overtook a silver Audi driven by a Portland man. Police said the van driver and a passenger approached the driver of the Audi and threatened him. They then took the automobile's keys and threw them down the road. No one was injured in the incident, which took place at around 6 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 16th. An unidentified 35-year-old male was subsequently arrested and released on bail pending further inquiries. Two Miami, Florida unlicensed broadcasters have been ordered to pay some rather stiff monetary forfeitures. Jim Davis, W2JKD, reports.
The higher fine was levied against Gary Feldman for operating an unlicensed transmitter on 97.9 megahertz in Miami. The FCC originally proposed a $25,000 penalty in February after tracing the source of an unlicensed transmission to an FM antenna mounted on the roof of Feldman's residence. According to the commission, Feldman, during an inspection, admitted to FCC personnel that he was the only one operating the station. But it didn't end there. In June of 2012, FCC agents found he stopped broadcasting from his home, but continued to do so on 97.9 megahertz from a commercial building. The FCC also dug through its records and found that Feldman had previously been fined for operating an illegal station in Tampa and had not paid that $10,000 fine. The FCC said Feldman didn't respond to them about the original penalty, which the agency has now reaffirmed. And as a result of the evidence before it, the higher amount has also been affirmed as well. The commission's also upheld a $15,000 fine proposed in February against Bernard Viergis for operating an unlicensed station on 91.7 in Miami. In that case, FCC agents traced the source of an unlicensed signal to an FM antenna mounted on the roof of a commercial building. In response to a complaint from the FAA about interference to Miami International Airport departure frequency of 119.45, agents found the source was the same antenna. The FCC agents soon linked the transmitter ownership to a website for Chico, the Leo Grown Folks Radio Miami. The site on the Facebook page listed the same number for Viergis that the property owner had provided to the FCC. He also told the agents that Viergis installed the transmission equipment in the building, which Viergis later admitted to the agents. However, the Enforcement Bureau says that Viergis never responded to its earlier notice, but that's why it's reaffirmed its fine. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
Both Feldman and Viergis have 30 days from the May 16th release of the orders to pay up or file an appeal. After the apparent final demise of the Heathkit company last year, hams on several websites are reporting that they were surprised to learn of a new consumer survey from whomever now owns the company name. The fairly lengthy online survey asks responders to relate what is important to them, their kit-building interests, their thoughts about the many vintage Heath kits, and their interest, if any, in amateur radio. It also requests thoughts and ideas about Heath kit while offering the opportunity to sign up to join a mailing list. The opening page instructions note that customer privacy is very important to them. As such, they do not release personally identifying customer information outside the company, as explained in its privacy policy. Also, those responding to the survey can choose which questions that they wish to answer. You can find more online at tinyurl.com/new-heathkit-survey. While not directed at the ham radio market, those who run Mega DX and contest stations may find this new product of interest. The direct antenna control system from Swiss firm Quattro identifies any type of malfunctioning, even partial damage, in antenna array systems used for radio and television broadcasting. Comprising a series of sensors that are placed on each branch of an antenna's array, the direct antenna control system measures the direct and reflected power values of the relevant coaxial supply line compared to its standard levels. Any deviations from the standard supply values of the direct power measurement indicate a problem above the sensor's threshold, while the deviation of reflected power reveals a problem below the sensor. A combination of these signals identifies the part of the antenna that has malfunctioned. The system then converts the corresponding signals of power transmitted and power received into lines with low sensitivity to radiation fields. The lines, which are protected from external interference, are transmitted by a unit that collects all of the signals arriving from the individual sensors of the various antennas. The unit also collects the pre-processing and formatting information in order to allow for the transmission through a network to a router that then renders the data available both locally and remotely. More information should soon be available online at dacsystem.ch. A small satellite developer workshop featuring amateur radio is now slated for July 8th to the 13th in Chennai, India. The amateur radio segment is being conducted by the National Institute of Amateur Radio, with topics to be discussed to include software-designed receiver design and basics of spacecraft technology, among others. Further details are on the web at spaceschool.co.in. Some names in the news. First up is Helena E. Wright, curator of the Graphic Arts National Museum of American History. She reports that David Hochfelder, a professor of history at the State University of New York at Albany, together with his wife Anne Pfau, are searching for letters or other documents about American shortwave radio listeners during World War II, specifically from those who were hoping for news of prisoners of war. The two have already located some radio logs about listening activities, but need much more. If you can help in this research project, please contact Professor Hochfelder by email to dhochfelder@albany.edu. And the spelling on Hochfelder is H-O-C-H-F-E-L-D-E-R. Guido Pendoli, P-E-1-N-N-Z, has released the code to enable the Raspberry Pi computer board to generate SSB on the 7 and 14 megahertz bands. According to PE1NNZ, the computer code he has written generates SSB modulation simply by controlling a phase-locked loop or PLL-based carrier. He says that he has applied this method on the Raspberry Pi PLL and made several contacts with it on the 40 and 20-meter bands. To find out more on how PE1NNZ makes this happen, please visit his blog at tinyurl.com/raspberry-SSB. The United Kingdom's Guardian newspaper reports that Major Tim Peake has been selected to fly on a five-month mission on the International Space Station in 2015. Peake, from Salisbury in Wiltshire, was chosen for astronaut training in 2009. Since then, he has been undergoing mission preparation in a number of locations around the world, including Star City in Russia and the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. He had previously served in the Army for 18 years, primarily flying Apache helicopters, and has seen active service in Afghanistan. The Guardian newspaper says that the 41-year-old Peake has been assigned a lengthy stay in orbit. He will be transported to the ISS on a Russian Soyuz launch vehicle in November of 2015, where he will be able to take part in spacewalks and other complex scientific activities. Currently, it does not appear that Peake is a licensed radio amateur, but instruction in ham radio is still a part of astronaut and cosmonaut training. This is so that those serving on an ISS mission will be familiar with the amateur gear aboard the orbiting outpost and can use it for recreational and educational purposes, as well as a backup communication system should all other gear fail. A detailed article about Peake's assignment to the ISS is online at tinyurl.com/British-astronaut-ISS. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. If you are DXCC hunting and have had a card for E51WL for North Cook Island rejected, here's some good news. According to Bill Moore at the ARRL DXCC desk, it turns out that the operator is a native of the island and that his previous ZK1WL had been previously approved. The bottom line is that this is just a call sign change. So, if you had E51WL rejected in a recent submission, send an email to bmoore@arrl.org for an update to your record. In DX, W5JON will be operating as V47JA from his Calypso Bay, St. Kitts, West Indies vacation home from July 9th until August 10th. Listen out for John on 160 through 6 meters using SSB, RIDI, and several digital modes. He will also be using his newly issued contest call, V49J, in the IARU and Islands on the Air contests on SSB. John's wife, Kathy, W5HAM, may get on the air occasionally, operating as V47HAM. All QSLs go direct or via Logbook of the World to W5JON. PA3A, PD1AEG, PA8AD, and PA8AN will be active from Congo, September 28th to October 11th as TN5MS. They will be active on HF bands. QSL via PA3AWW, either direct or Logbook of the World. ZL2JU is currently active from Rarotonga in the South Cook Islands as E51JJU. He is operational on most of the high-frequency bands, but no exact schedule of operating times is mentioned. QSL via his home call. 0090 will be on the air portable LX from Luxembourg from July 17th to the 20th. He plans to focus on 30-meter CW and PSK. QSL via home call or electronically using EQSL or Logbook of the World. Five operators will be active from Ustica Island from July 24th to the 29th, signing IE9/IK6JRI. They also plan to take part in the RSGV-sponsored Islands on the Air contest that takes place during their stay. If you make contact, please QSL via IK6JRI. Lastly, G0MGX is currently working in Qatar and has obtained a permit to operate stroke A7. He says to listen out for him during evenings and some weekends, primarily using RIDI and JT65. He adds that the Qatar Amateur Radio Society has made him feel very welcome and that he is very grateful to them for the support and help they have given to him. He adds that he has provided the ARRL with the necessary documents of licensing for all his call signs and uploads to Logbook of the World regularly. QSL as directed on the air. And finally this week, we conclude our coverage of the 2013 Dayton Hamvention by looking at activities that do not usually fall into the spotlight. Also, a quick glimpse of the concurrent 4 days in May event. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
While most services tend to report on the Dayton Hamvention based on number of attendees and new equipment released or at least previewed, there's a lot more to this annual gathering. This is also a place where breaking news is first reported, and according to AMSAT North American President Barry Baines, WD4ASW, hams involved in space communication had at least two things to smile about. The first was the announcement of a launch commitment for one of the group's newest birds.
The biggest project that we're doing is called Project Fox. It's a CubeSat, a 4-inch by 4-inch by 4-inch cube, weighing about 3 pounds. That will be an amateur radio repeater, plus carry a scientific payload that will be flown into orbit. We've learned this week that NASA is signing us to a launch opportunity to be flown in November of 2014. So that's when we expect Fox 1 to be flown.
Baines also told Newsline that it looks as if there will soon be some good news on the cooperation front with other AMSAT groups around the world. This, thanks to a pending change in U.S. laws.
Congress in 1999 passed a law called ITAR, International Traffic and Arms Regulations, that decided that satellites, no matter what their purpose was or how sophisticated or unsophisticated they were, are subject to regulation as a munition. And so under ITAR, we cannot have collaboration with foreign nationals on evolving technology that's being developed. We can only talk about it with foreign nationals once it's completed and placed in the public domain. Congress passed a law, the bill, the National Defense Authorization Act, in December, which gives the authority to the president at his discretion to transfer items from ITAR to a more less restrictive category under export arms regulations. We are now waiting for the Department of State to come out with revised rules.
Also at Hamvention 2013 were representatives from our neighbors to the north in a delegation representing Radio Amateurs of Canada. Its president is Jeff Bodden, VE4BAW, said that they were happy to be there once again.
It's really good to be here in Dayton. We've been here at Dayton for three times now in a row with continuing raising our profile within the states and also with many of the Canadians that come down here. It's a mecca not only for U.S. amateurs, but many Canadian amateurs across Canada come down. So we're able to shake hands with our friends, the Americans, and also to meet with our colleagues and neighbors across Canada. So.
But the Hamvention was not the only happening in the Dayton area that weekend. Only a few miles away was a smaller show devoted to low-power operation and kit building. It's called 4 Days in May, and who better to explain it than the kit-building master himself, Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB.
4 Days in May, for those that don't know it, is a QRP convention that kind of wraps around the Hamvention. It doesn't block anything going on at Hare Arena. It just operates in the evenings when the Hamvention itself is closed, as well as the main day, the day before Hamvention on that Thursday. And during the day Thursday, we have seminars all day long, as well as an evening where we have a vendor night where a lot of kits and a lot of QRP stuff is traded and sold, and pretty amazing bargains there as well.
Joe tells Newsline that some of the most interesting highlights came in kit form.
One is a very sensitive RF voltage probe called the AccuProbe, and there were other kits including a antenna analyzer, which is simply a dip meter. All you do is you tune it until the light goes out, and that tells you what frequency your antenna is resonant on.
Meanwhile, back at the Hare Arena, the 2013 Hamvention came to an end midday on Sunday, May 19th, with the long-awaited prize drawing. From there, it was off to the open road, the rail station, or the airport for the short ride or long flight home. Hamvention 2013 was now history, with planning for Hamvention 2014 already underway. From Ham Radio City, USA, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB, for the Amateur Radio Newsline.
And those dates for the next Dayton Hamvention are May 16th, 17th, and 18th of next year. We hope to see you there. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, Twit TV, and Australia's WIA News, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, a word that if you are hearing this newscast after May 30th, that the nominating period for the 2013 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award has closed. It's now up to the committee to do its work. We should have more information for you within a few weeks. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, saying 7-3 from near Houston, Texas, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2013, all rights reserved.